It's 9:21 on Classical Mornings, and this morning we shine a light on a remarkable theatrical event opening tonight here in Toronto. It's the Canadian premiere of the record-breaking original London production of The Woman in Black, often called The Other Christmas Story. And three acclaimed actors star in this production, and one of them is our guest today, Ben Porter, who's doing something no other actor has ever done with this play. He is the first performer to take on both principal roles, Arthur Kipps and the actor, in the same production. He was nominated for a Drama League Award in New York for this very performance, and he's now here in Toronto for a four-week run. Ben Porter joins us this morning to talk about the play, his extraordinary dual role, and the remarkable journey that brought him here. Good morning, Ben. Welcome to Classical Mornings.
Hello. Hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. How are you feeling about on opening day here in Toronto?
Well, I'm very excited. I'm sitting here in my little apartment that I've been given, and I'm looking out on a beautiful blue sky, Lovely, fresh, crisp, wintry air.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy. Yeah, I can't wait.
Well, we're happy to have you here.
We're ready to go. Yeah.
Now, The Woman in Black is such an iconic production with a legendary run in London. What does it feel like to bring this original staging to Canada for the first time?
Oh, well, we have immense pride in that fact. I don't think I realised until very recently that it hadn't actually come to Canada before. It's one of the few places that it hasn't been to. So that's extra exciting. We love doing it. So wherever we are, we have a good time playing it. It's an honour to be in such a good production.
Nice. So the story, it's been called The Other Christmas Ghost Story. You tell us a bit about what it's about?
Well, I mean, the Christmassy thing is certainly true. The first line is, it was 9:30 on Christmas Eve. So you can't get much more Christmassy than that.
That'll do it.
And I suppose it fits into that tradition of the Christmas ghost story, obviously, that Dickens kind of started.
Yeah.
And it's full of winter chills. You know, the ghost story is perfect for that kind of time of year. And it's to do with family. I think that's it. It's one of those shows people think about ghosts and they kind of connect it to Christmas, and it's always done well over Christmas. So it's good we're here.
How does the staging create that sense of dread and wonder without relying on elaborate effects?
Well, I think that's one of its strengths in a way, and it might be one of the keys to its longevity. It doesn't have kind of million-pound or dollar effects. It has jump scares and lighting, and things are suggested. It's creepy. because it was in the West End for 33 years.
Amazing.
And it's been on tour many, 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 many times as well. So it's been honed to perfection over all those years, and tweaked, and things have been added or taken away just to kind of perfect it. So it's that absolute balance between really good storytelling and chills and creeps and actually laughter as well. It's a very, very clever, well-constructed play. I think that's one of the reasons it's lasted so long.
Mm. Speaking of clever, you are the first actor ever to play both Arthur Kipps and the actor. How did this unusual casting come about?
Well, it came about, it came from the director, Robin Herford, and our brilliant producer who takes the show to America, Tim Smith of Pemberley Productions. And I think they put their heads together and they decided that it's a two-hander, famously. Two actors tell the story normally, an older one and a younger one. And they took a look at me and they decided that I could just about fit between the two.
Oh, that's good.
I'd always traditionally played the younger part, but time slightly against me. But they thought, oh, well, he could play the older part, but he could still play the younger part. And they realized this would be a good ruse because it means that when we tour, we don't have any understudies because we cover each other in effect. So there's one actor playing the older part, David Acton. There's James Byng playing the younger part solely. And then I, as you say, sometimes I play the older part with James and sometimes I play the younger part with David. So I kind of switch between the roles, which means we all get a good go at doing it, but we also get a night off, you know?
Right, of course.
We're not doing all of the shows all the time.
Right.
Someone's going to be off when I'm on doing it and vice versa. So it's just a very clever way of doing it. It keeps us fresh. And if an audience really wanted to see different versions, they could potentially come and see a different pairing in a way, which is quite fun as well. Because sometimes people do want to come back anyway when mm-hmm. they see the woman in black.
Sure. How do you shift mentally, physically, and vocally between the two characters? Is there a moment in the performance where the transition is particularly challenging?
I think when we first started doing it, I had a tendency, it was harder for me to do it because I, obviously the younger part is the one that I've done the most. I first did that in 2008, so that's kind of in my body and in
okay.
my brain.
Yeah,
I can
sure.
play that one, you know, almost as if I'm speaking myself.
Mm-hmm.
The older part, I had to learn that. I mean, it wasn't too difficult to learn it. I almost learned it by osmosis because I'd heard it for so many
sure.
years being
sure.
played opposite me. But still, I had to put the work in to learn it.
Of course.
Then the only problems were when we first started doing it, I sometimes had a tendency to almost say the other person's line because of the rhythm, you know. I would feel that the rhythm wasn't. That I had to impact the rhythm myself, so I had to say the next thing. It was a bit like that. It was almost like a muscle memory,
mm.
and I had to kind of. It didn't really happen, but I can feel that a bit, and I also had to concentrate in a way that was more about I mustn't forget what the next bit is, which I've never had to do with the younger part. So that was the kind of the process of getting into the place where I am now, which is I would say I'm almost equally comfortable in both roles.
Mm. How about the physical challenge? Is there much difference in the two characters physically in your interpretation?
There is to, I suppose you might say that because the younger part is traditionally younger, and by younger, as long as he's younger than the older actor, it doesn't matter if he's in his 20s or in his 40s, say.
Okay.
But obviously, what I try to do is, I suppose when I'm playing the younger part is, I don't yarn up, it's not like I take my voice up an octave,
mm.
but I suppose I'm freer in my movements.
Okay.
And also, I think the physicality actually comes from the characterizations more than the age, because the older man, as you probably know, is the haunted character. He's the man carrying the burden of the ghost story.
Sure.
It's this terrible, terrible trauma that he went through as a younger man, which he's trying to purge himself of by telling the story through a theatrical production, which the younger actor is going to help him and train him through. So his physicality is obviously quite sort of stuck, stiff, cautious, whereas the younger man, being an actor, a professional actor, and a very enthusiastic one, is much freer in his movement and a lot bolder.
Interesting.
So they have different silhouettes, mm-hmm. as it were.
Now, your bio reads like a world tour. I mean, London, Los Angeles, Melbourne, Manchester, Edinburgh, New York, and so on, et cetera, and now Toronto. Mm. What drew you to this production originally, and what keeps you returning to it?
I think obviously, there are many actors that have played these parts, because over 33 years, it would swap around every 9 months in the West End to
okay.
keep it fresh, you know?
Right. Yep,
it
makes
but
sense.
I think, and some of us have been lucky enough to have a longer association with it over the years. And I think the reason that almost all actors who play it fall in love with it and want to do it again is it's sheer theatre.
Mm.
It's the theatreness of the whole thing. I mean, it's an odd thing to say, but because it's about theatre as well as anything else. As I said, the framing device is the frightened, traumatized victim of the ghost asking a younger actor to help him tell the story to mm. his family so he can purge himself of it. That setup in itself is completely theatrical. So we're saying this is about the power of imagination and how, with very little on stage, we are going to take you on a journey into this dark place somewhere in northeast Britain, or wherever it is, where you're going to feel the fear that this man felt when he was younger. And we're going to do it before your eyes, without pretending we're not making it up as we go along, or not, you know, that it hasn't been constructed.
Mm.
So it's almost like the workings are on display to begin with. And then inevitably, the audience forget all that, and mm. they do employ their imagination. It's the theatre contract writ large, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that gives you, as an actor, a wonderful feeling of collusion between you and the people watching it, mm-hmm. which makes it very exciting for us and really satisfying for them. And I think as an actor, that's what you want when you do theatre.
And there's certainly, you must by now especially, have a wonderful intimacy amongst your colleagues on stage.
Yeah, we do. We do, actually. There's a lot of camaraderie with mm-hmm. those of us who are lucky enough to do these parts. And, I mean, David and I have been, we've done nearly every version that's been in America so far, in this tour anyway, with Tim. And so our chemistry on stage is particularly strong because we've done it so many times. Mm-hmm. And the fun thing is, neither of us have acted with James before, who's come into this particular part of the tour this year. But because he'd played it before as well with other people, it's not as if you have to go into a rehearsal room and work for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. You all know the story.
Yes.
And you know what to do. And you know the moves. And then he just slotted in. And then you have the fun thing of, it's a slightly different take. Mm-hmm. So you have to kind of think, okay, the line's coming at me this way, and respond accordingly.
Of course.
It keeps it very alive.
Mm-hmm. Now, at its core, The Woman in Black is about memory, grief, and storytelling. What resonates most deeply with you in this tale after performing it so many times?
Yeah, that's a good question. You're absolutely right. It's certainly one of the things it's about is grief. Mm. When I first performed the play, I don't think I'd suffered grief in my own life particularly. Mm-hmm. But then interestingly, well, maybe that's not quite the phrase, but my mother died during the first run of it that I did, in the middle of it, actually. I knew this was going to happen, but it happened. And of course, those things do change you a little bit, don't
yes,
they? They sort
sure.
of affect you in a way. And I suppose, and I carried on doing the play,
mm-hmm.
the show must
yeah.
go on. And
yes.
And I think in a way, I perhaps informed the way I played some of it as the younger
sure.
man.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it bled into the performance a little bit. And also, I'm in a strange position because I'll be the oldest person who's played the young man. But I'm the only one as well that has this lovely sensation of looking at, say, if I'm doing it with Jay, he's playing the younger man, and here I am in the older man's position, and I'm looking at him doing things, which is part of the process of the play. And I have to do that. And I think to myself, well, I'm playing an older man remembering himself as he looks at a younger man.
Mm.
And I'm doing it as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's real. Because I've gone through those emotions countless
yes.
times that he's performing. Because
mm-hmm.
I've performed that part.
Right.
So that's a nice layer that's added to it.
It is. It's lovely. Ben, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Unfortunately, we have to wrap. And I don't like it. I'm not happy to do that.
Well, you've got classical music to play.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do indeed.
We're running, shall I say, we're running from tonight, the 4th, until the 4th of January.
Absolutely.
And we're at the Edmodge CAA Theatre.
Yes.
Is it pronounced Young Street?
Yes, it is pronounced Young Street. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so please do come along and have a good scary chill
yes.
this autumn
well,
and
thank
this
you,
Christmas.
Thank you for wrapping that for me. Tickets are available at mervish.com or by calling 1-800-461-3333. Ben, thanks so much for joining us this morning, and good luck tonight.
Thanks very much.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.